Would you open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5 tonight? Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. May God bless to our hearing the reading of his word. Many people today think that the book of Revelation is a hidden book. It's a mysterious book. But the name itself, Revelation, means an unveiling. And that's exactly what we're seeing, is an unveiling of the person of Jesus Christ and his work. Throughout history, many human leaders have desired to be king over all the earth. We can go all the way back to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and we can come forward to Cyrus the Persian and Darius the Mede, the Caesars of Rome, Alexander the Great, Constantine, Charlemagne, Napoleon, Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, but none have ever reigned over all the earth. No one has ever reigned. No human king has ever reigned over all the earth. But God's unchanging word says that one is coming to be king. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9, it says, "And Jehovah shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one, and his name one." And we know that the Jehovah of the Old Testament is none other than the Jesus Christ of the New Testament. So the one name that he will have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight's subject, the Lamb and the Seven Sealed Scroll. Would you pray with me? Father, again, I ask God the Holy Spirit to teach our human spirits your living word. I pray, dear Father, that the book of the unveiling, the book of the revelation would jump alive to us, that we would understand it. And Father, that you would give us the wisdom to meditate on the things that we learn, on the things that we hear, that you would continue to bring them into our thinking hour by hour, day by day, year by year, so that we might receive comfort and encouragement to make it through this life. And we thank you for the results. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1. Remember the context. God is allowing John to catch a glimpse of his living room. He's caught him up, and he is showing John his throne. And John has witnessed God sitting on the throne, preparing to pour out judgment on the earth. And we continue in verse 1 tonight, Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. A scroll is a long piece of dried animal skin rolled from both ends to the middle. These kind of scrolls were commonly used before the invention of modern style books with their square pages bound together. Roman wills were scroll-like in nature and sealed with seven seals tied around them. But this is not speaking here of a will, but it's speaking of a title deed. And like the will, this kind of deed was known all over the Middle East in ancient times, and it was used by the Romans from the time of Nero on. The full contract would be written on the inner pages, and the scroll would be rolled up and sealed with seven seals. Then the content of the contract would be described briefly on the outside of the scroll. This would be like the deed described here. Now notice in verse 2. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" The strong angel here is not named. Some writers identify this angel as Gabriel, and some as Michael. But since the text does not name him, then we're not going to speculate. He spoke with a loud voice so that the words could penetrate every corner of the universe. The angel sought someone both worthy and able to open the scroll and to break its seals. Who has the qualifications necessary to open it? It would have to be someone who has the power to defeat Satan and the demon hosts, to wipe out sin and its effects, and to reverse the curse over all of the creation. But the response was only silence. Look in verse 3. And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. Verse 4. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. There was silence. The powerful archangels of Michael and Gabriel do not answer. Uncounted thousands of cherubim and seraphim all over the universe do not answer. And all the righteous saints of all the ages, including Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Job and Moses and David and Solomon, Elijah and Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Paul and Peter, James and John, and the rest of the apostles say nothing. There's silence. No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth, was able to open the scroll. A search throughout all the universe, from hell to heaven and all points in between, turns up no one worthy to open the scroll. Overwhelmed with grief, John begins to weep greatly because no one was found. Would no one step forward to change this? Was no one going to be able to open the scroll, to unroll the scroll, and to redeem God's fallen creation? John did not really need to weep, because the search for the one worthy to open the scroll was about to end. Verse 5. But one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, look closely, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals." An unnamed elder here told John, "Don't cry." Then he drew John's attention to a new person emerging on the scene. No human being nor angel can redeem the universe, but there is one who can. This person, of course, is the glorified, exalted Lord Jesus Christ. The one, remember, who is equal with God and equal with man. The one who is undiminished deity and perfect humanity in one body. The one who has taken God by the hand and man by the hand and brought them together. The God-man. He is described here by two titles, very important. We call them messianic titles. The title, "The Lion from the Tribe of Judah," goes back to the blessings that Jacob is giving to his sons. Look in Genesis chapter 49 just briefly. Genesis 49, 8 through 10. Jacob is speaking here. "Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches. He lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who dares rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples." That is, out of the tribe of Judah would come a ruler. Down through the ages, generation after generation, ultimately the line of Judah, the line, L-I-N-E, of Judah, would produce a ruler. And it's a ruler that the Jews expected. They thought, and rightly so, that their Messiah would be a lion-like ruler to destroy their enemies and to make them free. That's exactly what they were to expect. Now, turn to the second title. "The Root of David" is the title of the Lord Jesus, taken from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 10. "Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse." Remember, Jesse is David's father. "And a branch from his roots will bear fruit." Now, verse 10. "Then it will come about in that day that the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious." That's speaking, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from or through the line of David. He is the offshoot of the stem of Jesse. So what do we have here? Jesus is the one worthy to take the scroll and to open it because of who he is. He is the rightful king from David's loins. And what he is, he is the lion from Judah's tribe with the power to destroy his enemies. And also because of what he has done, he's overcome. At the cross, he defeated sin and death and all the forces of hell. And believers are overcomers because we are found where? In him. Now catch this. As John looked at this incredible scene before him, remember the blazing diamond-like reflection of God's glory, kind of flashing from all sides, coming from the throne, the bright green rainbow surrounding it, the flashes of lightning and peals of thunder foreshadowing the fearsome divine judgment of God about to be poured out on the earth, the worshiping four living creatures and 24 elders. Yet John's attention is drawn irresistibly to what he saw between the throne and the elders. His eyes fall there. And he anticipated the mighty lion from the tribe of Judah, the all-conquering Davidic king, but instead, he's shocked because he sees a lamb. He hears the roar of a lion. He looks and he sees a lamb. The Lord Jesus could not be the lion of judgment or the king of glory unless he first became the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's first the cross and then the crown. In verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Can you picture that in your thinking? Several features here indicate that this lamb was no ordinary lamb. First, he was standing alive on his feet, yet he looked as though he had been slain. The scars from his deadly wound were apparent. They were clearly visible. The scars in his hands and in his side. And yet, he was alive. This is an idiomatic expression for resurrection. As if he had been slain. Another feature about this lamb that John noted was that it had seven horns. This image is drawn from the animal world, and the horns in Scripture symbolize strength and power. And seven, the number of perfection, symbolizes the Lamb's complete and perfect power. And the Lamb in John's vision also had seven eyes, denoting his perfect omniscience and complete understanding and knowledge. He has infinite wisdom. Those eyes, John noted, represented the seven spirits of God sent out to all the earth. It's the Holy Spirit's ministry always to magnify Jesus Christ. Remember he said, Jesus talking about the Spirit said, he's not coming to speak of himself. He's coming to glorify me. And the seven spirits indicate this perfect Holy Spirit sent out into the world to magnify Jesus Christ and to draw the sheep to the shepherd. That's what he's doing this very day. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit that opens up the Word of God to our thinking. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit who leads us to the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit who points out His true identity. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit who gives us the faith to place in Him. Verse 7. Then He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. Here is the final act of that scene in heaven. Everything that John has been describing since the vision began had been building toward this moment right here when he came, that is the Lamb of God, he came and took the scroll. Now you can just picture this. The music now is beginning to play in the background. Now it's softly now. It's maybe the Hallelujah chorus from Handel's Messiah. But it's beginning to rise. It's beginning. The pitch is getting louder and louder and louder. This act right here, when he takes the scroll out of the right hand of him who sits on the throne, it signals the end of man's day and the beginning of the Lord's day. The ultimate goal of redemption is about this scene right here. Paradise is going to be regained. Eden is going to be restored. This is the day that creation is longing for. The redemption of the sons of God. Before John's wondering eyes, the Lamb came, and he took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. This very scene here is described all the way back in the Old Testament, back in Daniel. Look at Daniel chapter 7, just a moment. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Daniel 7, 13. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples and nations and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. The one who is worthy is poised to take back what is rightfully his. This world is being controlled now by an evil usurper. He is not the king. He is not the owner. But the one who has the title deed is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's coming back to reclaim what is rightfully his. The appearance of the Lamb as he moves to take the scroll causes praise to break out from everywhere in the universe. Like I said, it's quiet now. It's just a quiet, soft hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it begins, now watch this, it begins to crescendo. Can you picture this? The music is growing louder and louder and louder. And the praise and the worship is growing louder and louder. And it accelerates in an ascending crescendo of worship, and then it reaches a climax, and the spontaneous outburst of worship results from the realization that the long anticipated defeat of sin and death and Satan is about to be accomplished, and the Lord Jesus Christ will return to earth in triumph and establish his glorious millennial kingdom. The Hallelujah chorus is really being played. The curse will be reversed. The believing remnant of Israel will be saved, and the church will be honored, exalted, and granted the privilege of reigning and ruling with Jesus Christ over the earth. Now there's music everywhere in heaven. Look in verse 8. Let's finish it right here. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. I love that. The incense represents the prayers of the saints through the ages. What is the prayer? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maybe it's today. Come back soon. Come and redeem us. The prayers of all the saints of all the ages are about to be answered right here. Now notice in verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, And I heard the voice of the many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. How would you like to lead that choir? Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him who lives forever and ever. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for the picture that You have etched in our mind. It's vivid. It's clear. It's understandable. It brings within us great joy. And Father, it fills us with hope. This blessed anticipation that one day we are going to be face to face with our Redeemer. And we say with all of the believers throughout the ages, all of the saints, we say with them, what a day, what a glorious day that will be. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.